I think I'd yell at someone else to get out of the space in front of me so I could run in.
I'm looking forward to the next challenge sometimes if you get to actually enjoy what's happening at the time.
He won't get sacked. That's absolutely not going to happen.
We can get him back in the team and that can help him work through some of the personal things that he's got going.
We copped a pasting towards the end of last year and we were in a really bad spot as a club.
I didn't expect anything less from him. I can't believe it took him 2 rounds to get suspended.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
It's always good fun with Jack Riewoldt in the studio from the Tigers, of course, sitting sixth on the table, 7-5 after the 12 rounds. We've got everyone playing 12 games. We're back on track from a ladder perspective. The sixth is okay, although I imagine he would have been hoping for a little bit more. Jack, good morning to you.
Thank you. How are we all?
Oh, it's a bit flat.
Yeah, I know. It's a disco set up there.
I thought you'd be 20% happier today.
No, Maisie just tweeted that I'm on. I'll sort of flick down my phone to have a look, but you caught me unawares there.
Oh, sorry about that. Gave you a good intro, pump up, all that sort of stuff, and I get, oh, you're good, thanks, how you doing?
Nah, great.
There you go.
7 o'clock in the morning.
How
I love
good is it?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
How good's life?
Yeah, no, it's going good. BJ must have, is he missing this week?
No, we had BJ on Tuesday.
Yeah, we had BJ Tuesday. Oh. So Nathan bit Jones... with his injury.
Oh, okay.
Because he's...
Set back.
Yeah. Half, do the intro again. Let's get him going. Let's get the big boy going.
No, I'm up and about.
He's up and about.
Flem just asked me if I had a bit of a cricket background, actually.
Yeah.
So, Riewoldt's a bit of a cricket name.
Is it?
Last time I checked, the Germans don't play cricket, Flem.
I was wondering where you're going with
that. You and Nick, your height, it would have been good, big, quick.
Good, big band.
No, I was
so is it just footy, basketball?
No, I was a soccer player, actually. I got asked this question at a function last night, if I had any football players' posters up on my wall. It was a Harry Kewell, Mark Viduka fan.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Leeds United.
Yes,
EPL on SBS was Monday nights was our go-to. No, not a heap of footy. My old man played a bit of footy for Clarence, our local
Clarence.
Football club down at Belrive.
Yes.
The great club that gave Richmond Royce Hart. But yeah, soccer was our go-to.
Right. Why soccer?
Oh, I don't know. It was
because it's always a AFL cricket state.
Yeah, well, see, it's sort of Saturday soccer, Sunday's footy down home, and the primary school I went to had a pretty sort of strong soccer background. Mum and dad are both PE teachers, so they sort of pushed us into anything really. But soccer was EPL. We just loved it.
Well, the Leeds United days with Harry and the Dukes, the V-Bomber,
yep.
They were good days.
Yeah, no, they were very good. They were very good, and we nearly won the league a couple of times, and then I think a few little backroom deals and some bookkeeping issues shot Leeds down the divisions. I reckon they got down to Div 3, I think, maybe. Yeah. But they're fighting back now.
Those pesky bookkeeping issues.
The old bookkeeping issues, yep.
Causes absolute havoc, it does. Absolute havoc. I saw your coach on the couch on Monday night. Thought he handled himself magnificently. Do you, when you watch those sort of programs or you see those interviews, do you give a bit of a criteria for the coach and tick him off as he goes along? Do you judge him?
I get a bit of enjoyment. Every time he's on radio, I always text him saying, make sure you give me a shout out. One of the great, I got a lot of enjoyment out of listening to him on another radio station, and someone else said, one of the people that was interviewing him post the interview, they were talking about how honest he'd been. It was pretty similar sort of interview to the on the couch one. I said, oh, it's amazing and really refreshing for a 50-year-old man to admit fault. And I sort of flicked through Dimmer's Wikipedia page and saw that he was 43. I got great pleasure out of texting that to him saying, you've just got to rap as a 50-year-old man, mate. So congratulations, there's 7 years of your life. So I think that's what AFL coaching does to people sometimes. It sort of ages them a little bit of a quicker race.
I reckon he's hung in all right, Dimmer, hasn't he?
Doing very well.
Yeah. You see that the graying of the hair, which is quite trendy these days. just a general aging, isn't there? But Dimmer's held in, isn't he?
No, he has. And look, I think it's really refreshing for anyone to sort of look at someone in a sort of senior position to I'll not admit fault, but really learn from experience and be open and honest with that. And certainly Damien and Trent's come out and written a couple of great articles about that too. And it's sort of really been the, I suppose, the catalyst for the group to go forward is admitting that we could have done things a little bit better in all aspects of last year and learning from them.
So there's a real evident a change in his demeanour, the coach's demeanour, from last year to this year that you've noticed?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's been really refreshing and as sort of like an arm of the coaching panel in terms of the leadership group, we've had to sit back and look at our performances last year and think of areas where we can get better. But it's just part of the game. You need to learn from your mistakes and work on your strengths as well. So as a group, I feel like we're doing that reasonably well at the moment.
So how much of it has been him, this Damien, understanding that he needed to be different, and how much of it is actually the new assistant coaches coming in and giving him new ideas and refreshing the place that way? Because that was the sort of the theme going into the season, that it was going to feel different.
Yeah, look, I think, and Dim has spoken about this, is that when he's so driven that when things started to not go the way we wanted them to go, he actually just went into this, like, nearly Superman mode that was trying to work harder, and sometimes just by pure the fact that you're just trying to work your butt off and find that cure, you actually just keep missing it. So you need to take a step back and get some fresh eyes on it, which we have with our new assistant coaches, and some fresh ideas, and the picture starts to become a little bit clearer once you can do that.
Because it can be hard, I reckon, when you're the main man. And you're trying to set the agenda everywhere. I mean, you need a mentor as well. You need someone who's distant from that to actually identify that, hey, you're not behaving the way you normally play, or you're trying to do too much. So to admit, you know, everyone makes mistakes, but it's actually the opportunity to grow, and that's what you're saying has happened so far. Hey, mate, what about the close games? How do you look at it? Do you look at it, they're disappointing, the ones that you should have won? Or as it said, that generally you've been in every game this year?
Yeah, well, Flynn, that's certainly one thing that it's really hard. We would love to win every close game. We'd love to win every game. And as you said, we've been in every game, sort of bar the Adelaide game, where we started really well in the first quarter, and then they really got a hold of us and did a number on us over there and at the Adelaide Oval. But I think what it shows is that if you want to take the points against us, that you have to be in the fight for a long time. And unfortunately, there's probably sort of maybe four or five games that have been really close results that could have gone our way. But on the flip side of that, we were 20 points behind Melbourne at three-quarter time. We come back and win. We were 3 points in front of Essendon at three-quarter time, and we go on and win. Collingwood was a really similar result as well. So we've proven that we can win those close games, but at the moment we're involved in a lot of them because we're not rolling over. We're playing a pretty good brand of footy that sees us as the second best side in terms of scores against. So our defence is working really well at the moment. It's something that we're extremely proud of, but we know that we certainly need to probably improve our scoring, and that's something that we continue to address and hopefully continue to get better at.
Is it testing your patience that you're not getting over the line in the close games, or is it, as you said, because overall the quality of the football is so much better than it was last year that you think it just will naturally turn?
Oh, it's not testing my patience at all. I would love to be winning all the games, but you got to be realistic as well that you actually can't win all the games. I think there might only have been one perfect season in AFL footy, and it's just a part and parcel of the game. And the most important thing is that we continue to learn from all of our performances, whether they be wins or losses, and not ride that emotional roller coaster that you can sometimes through the, especially in Melbourne, through that media bubble where one week a reporter will be saying that you guys are the most exciting side in the competition, and the next week they're like, oh, well, you can't win the close ones, you're mentally weak. So some of the commentary around certainly our football club is a bit wish-washy sort of with every week and every result that goes by.
And the review, I'm interested in the review process. What does get reviewed from the weekend's game particularly? Because it blew out to a really good lead, played really well. Sydney sort of started to get a bit of a handle on the game in the back end of the second quarter. But so what did you review in terms of trying to get better for whenever? For next week, for a month, for 3 months' time?
Yeah, look, it's probably those two focus points and the two sort of simplistic points of the footy are the defence, which we thought was reasonably good. If you sort of say we'll keep the Swans to 80 points at the G, you'd be most likely we'd probably win the game.
No impact from Bud.
Yeah, and Franklin sort of only kicking one or maybe two, and then the offensive side too, which is the area that we think we can improve in. So you look at the way we want to move the ball forward, but ultimately they both go hand in hand, the defence and the offence. If you can attack the right way, then it's the best form of defence. If you've got the ball, they haven't. So it's a lot of learning curves for some young guys, some older guys, and some guys in the middle there, and hopefully we can put it all together this weekend.
Can I ask you your assessment on Alex Rance? I was watching that game, and you'd probably prefer him not to have the ball or be anywhere near the ball because it's in the wrong end if that's happening for the Tigers. But how do you assess his importance to you guys and his place in the game? Because I marvelled at his last quarter on the weekend. His ability to stop every passage of play, just about in any situation, air ball, ground ball, contested footy, intercepts. He was doing everything possible in the game. He was doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's a great player. The thing that has changed a lot for Alex is his leadership's gone to the next level. So his ability to look outside himself and really step up and be a voice for the players has been phenomenal this year. And I know that's something that, as a leadership group, we're really proud of, the fact that we've been able to do that. And he's been leading from the front with Trent and myself. But what we've got down back at the moment is we've got some real stability. So Dave Ashbury's having a great year as well,
yeah,
and really helping Alex. But one of the guys that probably goes under the radar a lot that I think a lot of sides would love to have is a guy like Dylan Grimes, who has that ability to play on the taller guys. He's sort of 190 centimetres and he can play on the taller guys, but also has the ability to play small for us as well. And with different sides giving you so many different looks in terms of height and types of forwards that they play, the ability to keep your back six together or back seven, possibly back eight, is crucial because they work as a great machine. So, look, Alex is a fantastic player. I said on 360 the other night that I think that duel is sort of Carey Jakovic-esque. Like, yep. It is the best key back versus the best key forward of probably the last 5 years, and Franklin's been around and playing some sensational footy before that. But Alex has really come into his own over those last 5 years with three All-Australians in a row. That's the battle that we're seeing now, and it's probably worth the price of admission just to go there and watch those two go at it.
Yeah, it was certainly a great theatre on the weekend. I reckon it's going to be more great theatre on Sunday at the MCG too for the game against the Blues. We'll talk about that after the break, 20 past 7 on The Breakfast Club. Jack Rewalt from the Tigers on the Inner Sanctum with us. Join us after this.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Inner Sanctum of the Tigers this morning at 23 past 7, and Tiger champ Jack Rewalt is a part of the conversation, and he's got a big game coming up this week too. Every game seems to be a big game these days for the Tigers because there's a lot on the line. There's a top four spot in the offing, but the Carlton game this week, and this is old school rivalry sort of stuff, Jack, and there's the Carlton boys are up and about, so their fans are up and about. The Tigers are sitting sixth and just outside the top three at the moment, so I would suggest if there's not 85,000 people there this week, that'd be a disappointing result.
Yeah, hopefully we can get a big crowd there. I think we had 58 against the Swans, which I reckon
was all time, I think, those two teams.
Yeah, between those two teams, which is awesome. And the club's just ticked over 70,000 members for the third year running, which is a great achievement. And you'd think possibly off the back of the season that we had last year that they may have dropped off, but the loyal fans out there and the steadfast Richmond fans are I think they're enjoying the season that we're having. They would probably like to see us have won a couple more of those close ones. But yeah, an exciting game coming up. Carlton are nearly the form side of the competition at the moment. They've beaten GWS at Etihad and then gone up to Gold Coast and done a number on them up there as well. Mm. So they're an exciting team for rising stars as well this year. So they've certainly got something going on down there. But our boys are going to have our hands pretty full with a pretty good young side.
Anyone's sitting for the task of Sam Doherty or Cade Simpson off halfback? They're the ones causing all the havoc, Jack. We're going to sit on
30
them?
Plus a week. Look, I think Doherty's certainly a lock for probably the All-Australian halfback line at the moment. He's having a fantastic year. And Cade Simpson's just a guy that I reckon goes under the radar as a pretty important player. He's nearly a bit of the sort of Joey Montagna type at the Carlton Football Club. He just constantly racks it up. He's a really good general down there. But our half forwards are going to have their work cut out there. But certainly with the pace that we feel we've got across that line, we reckon we can take it to them.
Who are you kicking a bag on this week? Who normally takes you for the Blues?
Michael Jamieson, but he's on the match review panel now. So
he'll look after you, won't he?
He probably will.
Jamo.
Liam Jones is a guy that's come out of that forward line mould and
all Australian form,
plying his trade down games. Back, and really done a number on probably the two best.
Tom Lynch.
Up and coming forwards in terms of John Patton and Tom Lynch. So certainly he's a guy that could possibly palm me. But at the moment, we're not flush with key forwards. So, and they've got probably three, maybe four key backs. So maybe I'll get all four of them, Flem. So we'll see what happens.
One a quarter.
How do you plan for, without going into the detail that you want to keep secret, but how do you plan for the play you might play on? When are you getting vision of them, or are you getting vision of them? Is it, how does it all work, or is it all about what Jack Revolt does?
There's certain aspects about that, Whitey, but we'll plan as a probably more as a little, just a little group on what they will bring. Which is generally a lot of me talking, because a lot of the boys have only played against Carlton once, which so Rioli, Butler, Bolton certainly hasn't. Bolton. Georgie Castagna's probably maybe played once or twice against the Blues. So generally it's me talking and telling them about what the players are, and then they fill me in on a couple of the younger guys. So we just have a bit of a discussion, talk about their strengths, talk about our strengths and where we think we can win the game, and go from there, and then out to battle.
Because with Liam Jones, he's obviously not played a lot of footy for a long time, particularly as a defender. Do you kind of know what his tricks are? You know the way he plays? Or is that something you kind of sense out on the ground as the game's unfolding?
I must confess, I have had a little bit of a sneak peek at Liam Jones, just because I have never played on him before, and had a quick sort of look on the AFL website on how the guys have been going against him, and hence why I know he's playing pretty good footy and a bit of a talk of the town at the moment. So had a little bit of footage of Tom Lynch and the way he played Tom Lynch. So I'm not sure whether he'll play, if he plays on me, if he plays the same way. I'm sort of not as big a key forward as Tom Lynch, a little bit different. So I'll have a little bit of an understanding, but generally sort of just get a bit of a feel as the game goes on.
So is it more about the group of six or eight defenders, and he's part of that, so it's not so much specifically looking at the one player? Because half's been big on this, the way Carlton are playing, that they're quite different in the way that they defend compared to everybody else, because they get so many numbers back and then they run it out. Is it, because I can imagine you're not going to get much space on Sunday.
No, a lot of sides play that way. Half, they like to get numbers behind the ball, and I think we probably had a fair template on the weekend. The Swans are pretty similar to that too. So There's tools in our kit bag that we think we can use, not only just as a forward line, but attacking as a side to hopefully get around that.
Jack, where do you sit on the media commitments? It's getting talked about in the last couple of days, potentially opening up and getting to more for the media to get more opportunities to talk to the current players. Where do you sit? Do you think you give enough at this stage? Or are you a bit more open, you know, like with the American sports, where it's a bit of a freedom for all, you know, for half an hour after the game?
Yeah, look, where I sit on it is at the moment, I feel like there's journalists or so-called accredited journalists that are writing stories about players and not putting a face to it. So if, I'll use half for an example, if half comes and sees me, we've got a relationship already after the game, wants to ask me questions that possibly are a little bit, let's say, borderline, or maybe sort of starting to get to where it's a little bit probably over the line, you're probably still okay to answer those questions to someone that you do have a respect for. But when there's, I think, nearly 1,200 accredited journalists and possibly only 800 players, that's when we start to get into this sort of TMZ style reporting where it's just, let's just get it out, let's just get it out. And I think that's the thing that the players are really wary about, or certainly I'm really wary about too. So if there's can be nearly a restructure around the accreditation side of things, and it certainly could be a possibility going forward. But at the moment, I don't think that that certainly I wouldn't feel comfortable.
So you've got a strategy if Liam Jones takes you. Have you got a strategy if BT goes into your rooms after the game? What's your strategy?
Yeah, beeline for the change rooms. Beeline. If he gets into the change room, start heading towards the toilets.
See, he's got a strategy.
So, no, we don't play Friday night footy at all this year, Foam, so there's a strategy for you. Don't have to.
That's
Brian's walk or whatever he gets.
It's back on that media thing, because is your philosophy or your outlook on it changed? Because you've had a bit of interesting times with train stations and whatnot media bans.
Put that out of my head, why did you? Thanks.
But has that changed because you've learnt to trust certain people in the media, or are you more comfortable in talking openly as you've become more experienced? What's changed for you? Because it's great with what you're doing with us, with what you're doing with 360, people are getting to know you better.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably changed my outlook on the media was the first Maddie's match, and around the support that we received from the media. And it's the looking at it as like they're not all of them are out there to get you. Like, I still think there's some people out there that are just happy to shoot from the hip and say what they want without sort of founded information. And that's probably the thing that changed my outlook on a lot of things. And also getting older and developing relationships with people that are in that media, and seeing ex-players and possibly ex-teammates moving into the media and having relationships with those certainly changes as the way I think about it too.
Do you think that perhaps, just playing devil's advocate for a second, if there were more opportunities for people to come and talk to you after a game, after training for half an hour, designated time, anyone, open access, that you would be able to build those relationships from an earlier stage in your career, as opposed to having to wait and work out and filter through the process as it currently sits, because it's quite restricted?
Yeah, well, I do, but having 1,200 accredited journalists makes it very hard to remember. And where does it stop? If you have 100 people rock up to interview Dustin Martin, which you possibly could have at the moment, the time, that turns into its own little circus. So in terms of if we can unify the accreditation and really hone that down to a number that we feel or that the AFL felt would be a respectable number, and a number that we could deal with, then possibly it could open up.
Interesting discussion with Jack Riewoldt, Tiger Champ, who's getting ready for a big clash on Sundam. I noticed the uniforms for Maddie's match too, which was released.
Yeah, they are. They released today in the paper. So,
purple action on the Saints jumper.
Purple action on the Saints jumper, and the logo on the front of the Tigers ones. I think Maddie's match is Saturday the 8th.
It is. Eddie Head Stadium, round 16, 8th of July. Saints fans, Tiger fans, get involved.
Yep. So there's a few promos and activations coming up soon, so stay tuned.
You need Fremantle to play one of those games. They've got plenty of
There's no revolts to play for Fremantle and Whitey. That's the issue.
That's probably true. Hey, just very, very quickly, the music's playing. Dusty's okay to play this week. There's a suggestion that he'd been a bit sore last week. He's all ready.
He's ready to go.
He's going to look great in Hawks colours.
I hope
too.
So. I just put him in the super coach this week. Is he going to the Hawks?
You read the story today. He's going to the Hawks. Fantastic news. Bang. Great stuff. Good luck this week, Jack. We'll see you very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Jack Riewoldt.
Go Tigers.
Up and about before Sunday's clash against the Blues. Get there, Tigers fans and Blues fans. It's going to be an absolute cracker. Scotty Gallen will join us after the break.